What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud out, what do you got?
We have another Battle of LA coming up tomorrow, UCLA, USC. I know we're about to have Martin Germain on, but I'm excited. I'm a UCLA Bruin fan, so I'm excited for this game. I know they're the number 16 seed, but I just want to say go Bruins. If you guys want to watch the game, it's going to be on ESPN, 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
Yeah, big battle between the Trojans and the Bruins. Basketball is thriving in college in this city. So thank you, Laura, for that at What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So Martin Jarman, the athletic director of UCLA, friend of the program. It has been way too long since you joined us. How have you been, sir? Sir, it's been way too long since we've had you on. How have you been?
Been great, fellas. Been great. It's been way too long. Agreed, man. I've been good. How you been?
We're good. We're good. So it's funny that you come on because we were literally just having a conversation, and I'm not trying to single anyone out. So this is just like it was like a conversation about kind of the business of sports and big time athletics, right? And how it's constantly evolving, right? And you know, we see it in your world too with college sports, right? Where particularly football and basketball, where there's this constant evolution of you got to evolve with the times, whether it's a professional franchise who needs to invest in more front office people and analytics people and scouting, et cetera, and for college, it's, you know, better facilities and more trainers, athletic trainers and things of that nature. How hard is it? And, you know, you're a young guy. You're not that far removed from being a Division I college athlete. How hard is the business of sports right now?
You know, it's interesting because I think we're in the most dynamic time for college athletics in the last 20 years. You know, if you just look at the last year and a half and all the change that we've gone through in college athletics, from the transfer portal, being able to transfer and eligible immediately, student athlete benefits, name, image, and likeness starting July 1st. You know, it's just so much change that you really just got to be flexible and nimble. And my mantra now is I know nothing. You know, it's just I just try to stay curious, keep an open mind, and think strategically about how do we best position us, maybe not for right now, but in the future as we move forward, because there are going to be people that emerge from this stronger. And that's what UCLA has got to do, and that's what we focused on. But it's a wild time. It's a good time for student-athletes. The benefits the student-athletes get is way more than what I got when I played college basketball, and that's a good thing. You know, that's a great thing. So so you got to change with the times. You got to be nimble and flexible, man. You can't be married to we did it this way back then or even last year. You got to move forward and have some clarity, but be curious and be open.
Yo, Martin, you're talking about be flexible, right? You have to move. You guys had a deal with a different shoe company. Now you have Nike. And the other day you tweeted out the Jordan 6s that are coming up, Jumpman, right? I haven't seen so much traction from my friends in their 40s to my kid who's a 17-year-old about the UCLA Jumpman brand, Unite, the collab that has the UCLA back and forth with that. That's what you're talking about, right? Recognizing the ability to make that change, but how many people want those shoes?
Fire. Fire. You know, that's a competitive advantage for us. Jordans are from whether you're 12 years old or 42 years old or whatever, that's you recognize that, you recognize the brand, and that's in, right? And our student-athletes love it, kids love it. And that's what it's about. You know, we got to use what our competitive advantages are and show people this is real in Westwood. What we're doing right now is exciting. And you got to have some fun on social media, you know, because you got to meet people where they are. You got to let them know the fire that's in Westwood.
Martin Jarman, the AD of UCLA with us here. How challenging has NIL been? I mean, I would imagine for you, as you mentioned earlier, right, like they're getting more than what I certainly used to get. But I feel like you are in a unique position to empathize with the student athlete in a way where most athletic directors aren't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was one of the first people to come out and be supportive of this, because this is what we're about. In college athletics, you know, we're teachers, right? We develop young people. And what better way to learn about your name, image, and likeness, about business decisions, about taxes, about what's good for my brand than while you're in college. You know, this is like a training ground for what you're doing after this. So this has been great. At the same time, the challenging part of it is the environment is not consistent. What the laws are in California is different than the laws in Arizona, different than Oregon, and these are people we're competing against. So it makes it challenging when certain schools in certain states in different conferences, but even in your own conference, can do things that maybe you can't do. And so a lot of us have been trying to find clarity as far as what we can do. And there's no single approach that works for everybody. So what we try to do is, again, what are our advantages? People. We've got great alumni. We've got great Bruins. We've got a great law school, great business school on campus. So we partner with them for educational things. And then we're going to do some things where we create a platform where businesses can come in, student athletes can come in and have at it and get our young people some deals and let them learn about business in a way that they haven't been able to do before.
Yo, Martin, one thing about you, you played college basketball not too long ago. You're only 42, I think. Michigan State is where you started off your administration, Ohio State, Boston College. Now that you're in L.A., Westwood. And as we have this conversation, I'm getting text messages from my USC friends. Boo, thumbs down. Do you understand the grasp of SC-UCLA now?
I do. It's passionate, man. And that's what you love about college sports, right? Saturday night, it's a big one. You know, they want to beat us. We want to beat them. And it's not just business. It's personal. It's personal. You heard it from some of our guys. But, you know, it's important to the city of L.A. But the beautiful thing is both of us are ranked. Both of us are good. So this is bigger than L.A., man. This is the country. And you want to get this one. And we're going to do everything we can to create a great environment to where, you know, it's going to be tough for them and it's going to be great for our guys. But, yeah, I get it, man. You hear about it everywhere you turn.
Man, I mean, we can't even tweet that you're coming on and all of a sudden it's like, oh, boo. Oh, relax, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
It's fiery.
I get it.
Yeah. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up.
No, just the last time we played at their place, it was like that. But this was a big one. It's the last game, and, you know, there's a lot riding on it.
With this particular group, I mean, you know, you've had some health issues with some guys. Obviously, you brought back a good chunk of the guys who had the success that you had last year, and obviously you lose in, like, an insane fashion, right? Like, we all remember that. What has it been like, though, as you watch this particular team evolve? Because I feel like there's been some ups and downs, but Mick has done, I think, a good job of trying to just manage some of the challenges that have come up with this team, where I felt like there were less of them, as strangely as that sounds, because we were dealing with a much larger situation from a pandemic standpoint, but yet it feels like this season has been more challenging. Why has that been the case?
You know, leadership starts at the top, and it starts with Mick. And I would say he has done a tremendous job this year with this team. I mean, think about this team. They started off number two in the country, bullseye on them, had a great run to end last year. And then you have no consistency. You know, we've had at least six guys miss multiple games. So to not have a consistent roster where you've got new players coming in, trying to fit in, I think this is one of the best coaching jobs he has done, because throughout all the injuries, he's had different guys step up. Different guys know that when it's their time, like a Jalen Clark, have stepped in. Jake Kyman, like David Singleton, you go down the roster, and everybody has played a key role. And people don't realize it's really hard when you have guys missing games in and out because there's no consistency, no flow. And when you have to do something different than what you're accustomed doing, you know, whether you're coming off the bench normally now you're starting, or whether you're having to play more minutes, that can disrupt your rhythm. And basketball is a rhythm game. So I think this team has done a great job, and especially lately they're defending much better. And that's the key to mixed teams, I believe, is it starts defensively. And when we can lock down, you look at that second half in the Washington game, defensively, we were as good as I've seen in a long time. And then shots will fall. But you can control your defense. You can't control what shots fall. So I think they've done a great job with just trying to be consistent and fight through some of the injuries and challenges that they've had this year.
Yeah, and Mick stays suited and booted, right? He does not leave those suits. And he paid so much for them, might as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He looks nice.
Oh, yeah.
He looks nice.
I told him after the SC game, he wore this blue suit. And I called him the next day. I said, man, I didn't even talk about the game. I said, man, where'd you get that suit, man? You're looking clean on the sideline, man. You're looking clean on the sideline.
Taylor, they're all custom tailored.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good.
Mick, I just got this.
His suit game's strong, man. His suit game's strong. I'm going to get him to wear some Jordans, though, one of these times with his suit. That's what I think he needs, man.
You got to do that. You got to do that. Now, also, you know, basketball's good. He's doing a great job. I love Kyman and the family and everything else. But you know this. Football is big. Rose Bowl. That's where the team should go. It's your home game, but you want to play New Year's Day. And I just got this text right here. We love his energy, but we need to see wins on the football field. How many times do you hear that?
Well, I try not to look at the social media stuff because it gets crazy now. So I don't hear that much. But absolutely. The Rose Bowl is a great place. We want to play in that game. You know, I think this past year we won 8 games, had a tremendous finish to the season. Chip has done a great job with his leadership and just developing young men. And, you know, it's going to be exciting. I think next year we got some key guys coming back, and you got some new guys you're filling in. So it's a good time in Westwood. And I think just coming off of last year and the momentum that we had, it'll lead us into this spring.
Yeah, look, you beat your rival. I was there. I did that game. I tried to catch up with you. I missed you. I came in and out of your suite a couple of times when I had some breaks. I tried to catch you that day. But you beat them. I thought you guys played much better this season than clearly you had in previous seasons. You extend Chip Kelly, though. What went into that decision? Like when you guys made that decision, did it take a long time? Was it something you had to think thoroughly about? What was that like?
No, you know, it always takes time when you're trying to get something right. And, you know, the bottom line and the most important thing is, you know, I like working with Chip Kelly. I think he's doing a great job with our program, and he wants to be in Westwood, you know, and we didn't want him going into the last year of his deal as a football coach. Sometimes that can be a little challenging. And so we had to find something that worked for him and worked for us. And I'm excited that we got that done. I mean, if you think about last year and just, I don't have all the numbers in front of us, but I know we had a top 25 offense. I know defense improved. You know, I've seen significant progress every year that Chip Kelly has led our program. And that's a credit to the young men in the program that have done a great job. And so, you know, we keep working. You know, it's something that if you look at just the trajectory, that's what you want to see. You want to see progress. And we've seen some good progress with Chip and the staff. And so I'm excited. We've got some new coaches in there that got good energy along with the guys there. So it's a good staff, a great group, and I'm excited.
Yep, including Ken Norton Jr., who's going to be on the sidelines with Chip
Kelly.
Coming home. Yep, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then, of course, UCLA, USC basketball this weekend. Now, come on, man, you were a baller. Do you ever, like, you know, go to Mick and be like, hey, man, you know, why don't you run a little more pick and roll or, you know, nothing like that? Come on.
You know what? He coaches. I don't coach. And so, no, I don't do that. But I let him know things that I see sometimes, and he picks up on it. So it's good. But, no, you know what? He's great at what he does. I let him do him. I do me. And Saturday night, it's going to be exciting, man.
It is, for sure. Martin, thank you so much for always making time for us, man. Let's do this again soon. Let's not go this long without talking to you again. Thank you.
And we got to get dinner sometime, too, brother. We got to get dinner, man.
Let's do it.
We'll size 12. Size 12.
Oh, on the Jordan. Size 12. Yeah, yeah. You want to hook my man up here. So, all right, Martin. Thank you.
Go Bruins.
All right, take care. There he is, Martin Jarman, the athletic director at UCLA.
Dinner's easy, man. Those Jordans are hard to get. Have you seen them?
Listen, let me go to dinner with him,
the
and
Latino
I'll get you some
you.
Shoes, bro.
Hey, man, I'm only the here Latino once a year. Closed mouths don't get fed, bro, but at least he's going to remember size 12.
Come on. He will remember that. Let me go to dinner with him, and then I get you your shoes, dog. That's how this works.
You don't have time. You're not
dog, I got you. I got you back on the radio. Okay, I'm going to get you some shoes. Come on.
I almost bought those shoes, too.
I'm like, size 7, why?
Yeah. Ain't nobody that. Buy no shoes. Let me work on that.
Everybody okay. Put it in the order,
for
too.
Real.
Okay.
When they're right. Under Armour and Adidas, ew. But Nike? Oh, yeah.
No, Nike, they're sweet. They're just sweet. Let me work on that. That's all I'm saying. You know, I got you back on the radio, fool. Let me get you some shoes.
I'm trying to get myself off the radio acting like this.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we got a long break here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is when 50 Cent was 50 Cent. Now he's like a buck 50.
Wait, the joke started off 75 cents, then he went to a dollar. Now he's a buck 50.
He's like a buck 50 now, yeah, for sure.
He took those comments personal.
I mean, he's the one. Who was he making? He was making fun of Madonna not that long
ago.
Yeah,
he was. He still does. That was recently, super recently.
So, you know, he can't be that soft skin. You know what I'm saying?
Karma, bro.
Thin skin, you know?
Karma.
Right? You made fun of like a... A 60-something-year-old woman.
Who looked great, by the way.
Yeah.
For her age.
In general.
No, that's true. But, like, you know. I.
She got, like, a six-pack at 60-something years old.
And she's dating a guy who's, like, 23.
I know 20-year-olds.
Right there.
Good
but
for her.
Yeah, exactly. If it was a dude, a bunch of dudes would be like, ooh, look at him as a baller. No, look, she's a baller, too.
That's what happens at Laker games on Friday nights.
On that 100 level.
Yeah, that's the John Ironman line.
No, because, you know,
their niece.
Up in the 300 level, that's not how it works.
No. Yeah. Take me up to the 300 level. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you out there trying to get J's, you know what I'm saying?
So. Heck yeah. Closed mouths don't get fed, Jorge.
At Eric Herrera tweets us, at Sedano at Unique at Lindsay Baseball. Duran Sports trying to come up with some J's, always working.
You can't say that word.
Oh, hey. Come on.
Hey. You dumped it.
Oh, you can't say that, Jorge.
Come on. Dile.
What does
he
that
says
mean?
A lot of things that you can't say. He's like, but you can't. No.
Yeah. It's like effing.
Nobody speaks Spanish.
No.
Not at the FCC.
In administrative rules.
Yo. Trust me, because when they used to work at Spanish radio.
Oh, yeah. But
so what themselves. Can we do to create that word? Because we created no memes. for the other one, what can we do?
That's
to,
still funny, no man.
I know, but because he,
what,
you know,
what is our alternative one. for this? For okay, how about this? How about just pinch?
What?
How about just pinch Beto?
It doesn't flow. It doesn't flow.
No.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I was
like,
thinking
because
inche,
that I mean,
inche, but like inche is like nah, tampoco.
Right.
Yeah. Or you can say michi lava.
No. How do we come up with a way to say that word?
I'm not involved in the decisions
Twitter.
Of using bad words.
Twitter. Twitter, help us out. Twitter, help us out.
What
exactly.
Can we say that's PG-13?
Twitter, help us out.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what the outcome you guys are trying to get to is because I don't know what the word meant to be.
No, no, you
like
don't, right? You let can't me, help that. Us here. You
let
can't
me kill
help
you.
Us here.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah.
She just explained to her what it means.
Yeah.
It's anyways, what's up, George? I'm having fun, man. This is fun.
So, yeah, look, you're having fun. You may be able to get some Jordans out of this.
I've never had Jordans in my life.
Get out of here.
You're lying.
I've never. One, I'm not a shoe guy.
I'm not either.
I'm not a shoe guy. And Jordans
but I have
are
Jordans.
Expensive.
I have one pair.
I've never had a pair. And, like, right now, it's, like, the cool thing for, like, the suburban dads to buy Jordans and try.
Actually, technically, I have two pairs.
Yeah. I mean.
I got two.
I just don't have. I'm more. I wear Vans. I wear Vans and running shoes. But if somebody wants to give me Jordans. Like the Concord, I know the names and all that other stuff. I like
them. I don't know that. I'm not a sneakerhead.
I'd rather get Jordan golf shoes, but those are like $500-$600.
Get out of here!
Are they
really?
That much?
Oh yeah.
I think Morales has a pair
because
pretty
they're sure. Hard. They're only a certain amount released. So on the resale market, they're out there. So like the golf shoes that Nike puts out on the app. I mean, those are hard to get. Like
that's a whole thing.
That's a whole other world right there.
The sneakers app releases. That's a whole scam.
Oh yeah, no, but the golf. Shoes that are Jordans or Nike that are coming out. Oh, that's another scam right there. Oh, yeah.
Did you hear what Martin said, though? We didn't specifically mention any team, but when he said, look, the game is changing. Like, in general, like, the sports game is changing. You got to keep up, you know? Like, and that's kind of the conversation we were having about the Lakers. And, look, I said this the other day, and people got mad when I said it. You know, and Laura was talking about selfies for the Clippers when I say this. She gets mad. But LeBron said it yesterday. The Clippers are a better team than us. Straight up said it.
And they're only a game ahead, right? like, or not too far ahead in the standings?
They're more now.
Okay, but not too far, right?
Not like the few games.
Okay, but not like the Clippers are a top four seed or anything like that.
No, the Clippers are...
That's how little I'm paying attention to.
They're five and a half games better than the Lakers.
Yeah, and it's...
That's not small, though.
No, but the Clippers are also banged up.
Oh, right. Their two best players are out.
And they made a trade. They got Norman Powell.
And he got hurt right away.
Exactly. But watching that game yesterday, George, you saw a team with fight.
Right.
And you saw a team.
And you saw a team that has a roster that at least they can make work a little bit, even if they're young.
You know, and Helene Elliott in the LA Times had a good column today about the differences between the Lakers and the Clippers. Even though they're both banged up, they both have odds against them, and the Clippers are still finding a way to be cohesive. They're not pointing fingers. They're not making excuses, unlike the Lakers. And some of the quotes from Ty Lue, you know, being very honest, who could have been the Lakers coach, and talking about, oh, they'll figure things out over there, they're a good team. It's like, wait a minute. Is that how coaches are talking about the Lakers now? Yes, it is. But like, is that where we're at, where other teams are like, you know, they got some pieces, they'll figure it out? Like, it's not supposed to be like this, George.
No. And here's the thing. I said this the other day, and this is what pissed people off, is that the Clippers are set up for more long-term success right now than the Lakers.
Well,
and it's not even debatable, I think.
Mm-mm.
I mean, granted, the Lakers could pull a rabbit out of the hat again like it happened with LeBron, right? But you heard the numbers. Of the last 40 games head-to-head, the Clippers are 32-8 against them. And I know what people are going to write. But they got one championship in those 10 years.
Whatever.
You do. And the Clippers don't. That is great. No one is denying that.
That was great for that year. What about in 22? What is it? And all you're doing right now, if you're a Laker fan, you're complaining about this team, and it doesn't look bright. I mean, look, the talks. Oh, LeBron shouldn't play anymore. Oh, what are you going to do? Who are you going to trade? What are you going to do this? Is Frank Vogel going to be back next year? You saw this coming when you made the trade. So, yeah, okay, you got your championship. You got it. You celebrated. But don't complain about what's going on now.
But here's the thing. If the Clippers win a championship next year or the year after or whatever, yeah, they'll only have the one. But, man, are they going to make that – they're going to make a lot of noise about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Laura?
No.
No, they will.
No, Laker fans are going to make a lot of noise about it. Because Laker fans are going to say, well, we got 17 to your one.
No.
Yes, they are.
No, because I even told Sedano yesterday, I went to go watch the game at Tom's Urban. And like I said something, there was a lot more Clipper fans than I would want to see in LA right now.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
But it was a Clipper home game. What do you expect?
No, even then. Usually Clipper home games
have... Was Chuck the Condor there at Tom's Urban?
No, because Clipper fans aren't selling their tickets anymore.
You know what I'm saying? But anyways, so my thing is, I hated seeing more Clipper fans there, whether it's... Even when I've gone to Clipper games, I've talked about this, and it's like, whoa, like, it's crazy, but they make a lot of noise. Like, I know where...
Their team's better. Why wouldn't they?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. They're going to
make... Laker fans can't make any noise right now.
Oh, I make noise. It's just not good noise, okay?
Yeah, your noise is... We got banners! Okay, great.
No,
what about
even
right
that.
Now?
I'm just talking a lot of mess. But...
No, what did you say at the restaurant? Everybody started clapping.
I said,
You can edit yourself.
I said, this game...
F this game.
And everyone's like started cheering. Everyone's like, yeah, like, because we, you know, I wasn't even wearing Laker gear, but we all knew why I was saying that. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, man. Like, I've talked about this with other people where it's
let
like,
it out, you, Laura. Let it out. Let it out.
Where you, when you go, I've gone to Clipper games and I told George this on his ear right now. I was like, I go right now to see other teams play better against my team. Like,
how Clipper fans used to be, right?
Yeah.
That's how Clipper games used to be.
It sucks, dude. Like, it sucks.
I was a Clipper intern. I know what's up.
You know what I mean? Like, it sucks to be on that other side because yes, prior to LeBron, our team was horrible.
They're legitimately built a foundation of a good franchise.
Yes.
The Clippers.
And they're not getting credit because there's millions of Laker fans.
Correct.
And that's fine.
And they don't have a championship.
Nobody's saying that.
But the minute they get a championship, at least nationally, they no longer are the punchline anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Locally, they may still be.
Yeah.
But
they get respect.
Once they get a championship, then all of a sudden it's no longer like then it's like, oh well, maybe this is a new era of Clipper basketball.
No, it'll be a new era.
No,
and
the
championship.
No, wait,
George.
Let me finish real quick. And I'm not saying that turns people, What I'm saying is the small minority of people who are actually Clipper fans get to beat their chest more and get to be loud about it.
Exactly. They get to be loud, and they're going to be drowned out by Laker fans. Because if the Clippers were in the playoff championship NBA finals, George, you and Kaplan would be talking about what the Lakers did wrong. There's no way you're going to be talking about the Clippers' march to the championship because your ratings will go down.
Well, I disagree because Marcellus Wiley was on the station for a long time talking Clips.
But look, Marcellus was also a contrarian talking Clippers. He was just a Laker hater.
I get it, but he's also kind of tongue in cheek, man. That dude was taking
pictures with Laker players quick because I got him on my phone.
I get it, but he's still a Clipper guy, and that didn't hurt at all. I think, if anything, it added.
Marcellus also took advantage of being the only Clipper guy, and they're like, oh, let's ride with him. I mean, hey, I'm all about you find your own lane and stick with it. Call me bandwagon now. You want me to be a Clipper guy right now? I'll go. Let's go. They got a job.
All right. Look at you. Beto's like, sign me up.
Size 12.
Got some more Jordans? All right. Radio Tinder in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so Colby Covington is going to battle Jorge Masvidal in a 5-round welterweight fight in the main event of UFC 272 this Saturday, which is tomorrow, right? Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's one of the most highly anticipated fights because the two former best friends turned enemies will finally settle their bitter feud. So long story short, for anyone who doesn't know, Masvidal and Covington hate each other, but for many years they were best friends. They lived together, they trained together early on in their MMA careers.
Yeah.
While it's not a title match, it's definitely a must-see fight. Do you guys think that the disdain between these two is going to make for a better fight? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I'm swiping right, yes. There's legit vitriol, there's legit hatred, and they have shown it. This isn't just guys selling it. Now, I'm not saying that they can't make amends after a great fight and pummeling each other, but I would be stunned if this thing ended in a decision. I think this is going to end in some sort of knockout or submission, or probably knockout is my guess. And there's not a lot of love between these two guys and these two camps for a number of different reasons. So, yeah, I love it. I'm in on it. I'm actually rushing home. So tomorrow I'm doing the Lakers-Warriors on ESPN Radio. I'm calling the game with Tim Legler. So if you happen to be on the app or whatever, want to listen on the app, you can flip between me and Ireland calling the game on radio or on Sirius XM Channel 80 or on ESPN Radio. Well, it won't be here, but you know, if you're listening on the app now, maybe somewhere else.
That's awesome, man.
If you live somewhere else. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I'm running home as soon as that game is over to catch the main event for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Swipe right. These two hate each other. It was a good story by Brett Okamoto in ESPN.
Yeah,
today,
it is really good.
About how it started back in 2019. These guys were roommates. And the guy's like, Kobe was like, oh, you know, it's amicable. Masvidal, oh, effing kill you. Like, don't ever talk to me like that. Like, yeah, there's a lot of hatred between these
guys. There is. And he, you know, according to Masvidal and others, Covington didn't pay like the trainers, you know, and all that stuff and all the people that trained with him, including Masvidal, who he owed money. All these guys he owed money to train him to, you know, get him to that number one contendership previously before this time around. And, you know, money creates problems for a lot of people. I mean, listen, we all sit here can have conversations about like owing people money or people that you loaned money to or whatever the hell. And it creates problems like that's. You know, so this stems from that, and there's other stuff, but that I would imagine is clearly at the root of all this.
And good job by you voicing that for ESPN, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, Beto told me that today. That's awesome.
It's on my Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, the hype video. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. I hope that I never like lose a friend, you know, because we get super famous and something like this happens. Because I feel like that's really sad.
Hey, me, I'm trying to lose as many friends as possible.
Yeah,
Beto's like, I don't want any friends.
At this point, I don't have very many friends left. So, like, I don't want to lose my best friend just because we got famous. Like, you know, it's kind of like the Kanye West documentary. But that's a whole other story. So, next one. Patrick Mahomes' brother Jackson and his fiancée have had quite a few viral moments over the past season. And now Pat's little bro is speaking out about the repercussions of being in the social spotlight. Jackson posted to his Instagram story today about how the media is, quote, destroying his life. He followed up with another post that he feels, quote, broken, sad, and disrespected. So considering that Jackson Mahomes became known for his own behavior on social media, is it fair for him to be mad at the media for kind of running with it? Swipe left or swipe right, Beto?
Right, I guess. And who is he? Yeah. Who's he play for? What team is he the quarterback for?
No, right means that you agree with him. Left means
left. No, no, man, forget this guy. You know what? First of all, I'm tired of the little bro or the family member coming out there and being famous because their partner, their sibling, their kid is the one that's actually on the field and creating. I want to talk about Mahomes, the quarterback, not Mahomes, the brother who's out doing stuff. And you said his Mahomes' wife is also involved?
No, Jackson.
The brother's wife, fiance.
Yeah. Is he the guy that tweets a bunch of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's always on TikTok
and he's popping
making
off?
The videos.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And he's on the sidelines of the game.
He, like, got in the fight with the Ravens fans at a game.
Oh, no. First of all, you're doing this for attention, guy. You're doing this so we can talk about you, and damn it, we fell into the trap.
Now he's mad at us for talking about him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm with you. Swipe left on this. This is nonsense. He created all this. And by the way, what is the media? There's not like – I mean, we're talking about it because he's now picking the fight with the media, but I've never, ever, ever on the air in all the years that Patrick Mahomes has been a player even uttered the words – What's his name?
Jackson.
Name? Jackson Mahomes. So I don't even legitimately know his name. Like, I didn't know it until you mentioned. I just know it's Patrick Mahomes' brother.
He's that guy.
I think I brought it up back when he did get in the fight with the Ravens fan because that was a thing where, like, they threw water bottles at him or something.
And was I on the show that day? Because I don't remember that.
I mean, it was a while ago. It was during the season. Yeah. I don't remember if you were there. But it was just, you know, we were just having a conversation about, like, whether or not, like, the family members should be getting involved in stuff like that and jawing on social media, which a lot of wives and whatever do that. And it's so annoying. Like, Baker Mayfield's wife did that a lot. And so it's like, shut up. Just shut up. Ugh. Just don't say anything. It's pretty ridiculous.
Does that count as Lindsay mentions Cleveland on our Sedano and Cap bingo? The Baker Mayfield reference?
Probably, yes.
Okay. All right, there you go. What's next?
Baker, so bad, so bad.
That counts.
a Glendale chef went viral this week after he closed his business for a day to take his 7-year-old son to Legoland. A message posted to the Sasa Bune, Glendale's Instagram account, announced that the restaurant would be closed for 24 hours so Genji Sato could take the trip with his son. The post had over 50,000 shares and nearly 560,000 likes. Have you guys ever called off work for a day just to do something special for your kids? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I mean, I'm literally going to do that at the end of this month. Like, I'm going to take them to Disneyland during my kids' spring break, so yes. Swipe right.
Left.
And I had a feeling you were going
to
say that.
As the freelancer, Mr. 1099,
exactly right. Yes.
I am not taking a day off for you to do something, Mateo, because in order for me to pay for all the stuff that you're doing, and I know he's listening right now, he's stuck in traffic. Oh, by the way, car insurance I just paid the other day. Oh, I just filled up your tank. I ain't taking no days off for this fool. What's up, Mateo? I love you, man. But how much is club basketball? How much is your trainer? How much is your nutritionist? So, no, I'm not taking days off. But now for Mija, I'll take days off for Mija. Michaela, what's up?
Oh,
she ain't listening,
adorable.
Though. She has no idea what I do. She don't care. But for the daughter, but for the boy, no, I'm not. No, it's the thing is, working in this industry, we don't have normal 9-to-5s, so I'm able to do a lot of cool things like take them to school every day, pick them up from school every day. That's like the best part for me is taking the kids to school. That's why when my son started driving, he used to go work out at 6:00 in the morning, so I would wake up at 5 with him and all that other stuff. And like, now I don't do that anymore. And it's like, now, hey man, text me when you get there, bro. Like, he's legit become a little man where he forgets that his dad is filling up the damn tank.
Oh.
All right, yeah, I needed that therapy session.
You miss him. Well, I just thought it was really cool that, like,
no,
to your
cool.
point
it
about,
cool.
you know, needing the money to do all those cool things, you know, like this chef shut down his business.
Yeah,
who knows how
cool.
much money he lost for the day because he wanted, and then he posted it on social media to be like, he's not lying, he's not making anything up. He's just like, hey, let's be real about it. I'm taking the day off so I can take my kid to Legoland.
Is that the kid who's wearing a Charger jersey?
I'm not sure.
I think the Chargers retweeted him.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then
I think that's where I saw that.
boo Chargers. But still, anyway, cool story. All right, last one here really quick. So Pamela Anderson is back in the spotlight, of course, with her. She's recently the subject of Hulu's Pam and Tommy show. But she announced earlier this week that she's going to tell her story her way with a new upcoming Netflix documentary. The documentary is described as an intimate portrait embedded in the life of Pamela Anderson as she looks back at her professional and personal path and prepares for the next steps on her journey. Sounds very, what's the word? I don't know what to call it, but it sounds very stale. I don't know. What's the word there for that? Like, or it just sounds boring. Like, you know, it's her telling her story of her life. So, will you guys watch Pam Anderson's self-produced documentary, Swipe Left or Swipe Right? Sedano?
Swipe Left. Yeah, I'm not against it. Yeah,
that was the wrong thing.
I'm good. Yeah, fine. Like, whatever. Like, I'd rather watch the dramatized version of it.
Yeah, Left. I agree. I'm not watching her tell her story, her produce, and it's her version now. And I don't even know, what's the story about? She has a show
It's about
out?
Her life. Well, no, right now there's like that Pam and Tommy.
On Hulu.
Yeah.
It's like a dramatized version of their lives, and it's very like exaggerated, I guess. It's very weird, but I think it's good. And okay. I've been watching it. It's very interesting. It's very funny.
Where's your drop?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Hey, get paid. Hey, I'm not mad at her getting paid. Get paid, girl.
Well, she's not happy about the Hulu one because she doesn't
like
the,
of course she
isn't. You know,
just like the Lakers aren't
happy
about.
No, but I'm saying
about
her having her own show that she's producing, she's getting paid for that, right?
Yeah. But she's not happy. I mean, she's not happy about the Hulu one, just like the Lakers aren't happy about the Winning Time that's going to be on HBO on Sunday.
Yeah, but the book was out, 7 years ago by Jeff Perlman?
Right, like, but now Jeff
Perlman's
book.
But now people are going to watch it.
Right. Jeff Perlman's book was certainly a bestseller, but now, let's be honest, how many people actually read books?
I read it. It was good. I mean, obviously, that's.
I mean, I've read it, but I'm just saying more people watch.
Oh, everybody's watching this. Everybody's watching that YouTube sizzle. Oh man, the trailer for it. Yeah.
I thought it came out tonight. I'm really mad now. It doesn't come out till Sunday.
Yeah, and Sundays. I believe the guy that they found to play Kareem went to Bishop Montgomery High School.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah. All right, that is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30. Coming up next, Frank Vogel said he considered doing something fairly drastic with the lineup. We'll get into that coming up in a bit. So, Beto, Laura says this song is for you.
So I like this jam, but I've had a couple of run-ins with Usher.
Mm-hmm.
Not
really?
Me and him
Join
personally.
The club.
I was there when I saw him big league some people.
Oh. Laura's had those same issues.
Yeah, Laura?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He big leagued me too.
Yeah?
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we didn't know about this one.
In Cleveland.
Oh, there's the Cleveland for the bingo.
In Cleveland when, you know, he was like part owner of the Cavs or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was practicing a national anthem once. And it was when I was working for Fox Sports. And I wanted to, like, take a quick little video for social or something. And he, like, waved me off, like, nah, 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 like, no cameras. Like, and there's no one in the arena.
He's a jerk.
No one there. And he was all like, nah, nah, like, waved me off.
It's so funny because you wouldn't I've now heard this jerk from multiple people. And, you know, all of you. And I would have never guessed that he is because, you know, just based on his persona on TV when you see him. But apparently, behind the scenes, a little bit not so nice.
This happened at a Laker game once. And, you know, right there by the chairman's room where you have to be somebody to get there.
Right.
Standing there.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him. He's just standing there. And he's like, no. I'm like, wow, there's, like, nobody around. Nobody's going to stop. And he just, no. And I'm like, the person who asked him is on TV. I was like, oh, okay. And then I saw it at a fight in Vegas. I was working, and we were in the back, like, the office. Like, where nobody is supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And an NFL player hit him up. Hey, man, what's up? They talk for a couple minutes. Picture? No. Like, damn.
Dude,
like, he's...
Like, you had the conversation and just no on the picture.
He's an ass. Like, I've talked about it on the station when I used to work at another station. Like, he literally looked me up and down, put his glasses down, and then did the whole, like, put them back in and goes, and just walked away. His security guard goes, next time, sweetie, next time. I'm like,
next
screw
time.
You. Screw you.
Yeah.
He's an ass.
Yeah, and I just got a text. No, it wasn't Mario Lopez that he said no to.
Yeah, he's an ass.
Wow. Man. That's crazy. I mean, I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying?
I get it if there's a crowd and the
no, for sure. And you don't want to, right?
But yeah, I do. Yeah, we're just staying there. He had the conversation with the dude, and like
the football player one is crazy.
Yeah, and it's like,
remember when he went to a strip club and supposedly he like made it rain with fake money?
Yep.
And everyone got mad. And then after the fact, when someone posted about it on TikTok, one of the dancers did. He was like, "Oh well, I did that on purpose because I was gonna let them trade it in for real money." It's like, yeah, right. Who goes to a strip club with fake money? That's just mean.
Yeah,
yeah. Ooh, that was hilarious. All over social media. I remember that.
Wow. Yeah. So whenever I hear Usher, I want to like text that dude like, "Hey man, you know, remember him?"
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I just can't understand. I get it in a crowd, right? But because look, man, I'm around a lot of these like former athletes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they get mobbed all the time for pictures and stuff. And at the worst, what I've seen with a lot of guys is like, "Hey, can I take a picture?" Yeah, man, if you walk with me, we can take a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
the walk and take.
That's fine.
Right, which is fine. Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. And I also, look, I've never been the type to, like, I remember a buddy of mine. We were kids, bro. We were like 17 years old. And we ran into a number of NBA players, like hanging out at like a super casual place, like a Johnny Rockets or something like that. And my buddy, and we were like 16 or 17, asked him for a picture. And he's like, "Nah, man, not while I'm eating." Which that I understand.
Yeah, yeah. If you're at the table, cool.
Right. I'm not going to bother anyone while they're eating. You know what I'm saying? But like, for the most part, like, man, it doesn't hurt that much to take a picture, especially if you're in a private setting.
And like, the best is when they retire and then they want to be on TV as an analyst. And it's like, "Hey, man. All of a sudden, huh?
Super nice.
All of a sudden.
So nice.
Man, let me tell you about that guy."
he turned on his mic. But you know what? Like, the crazy part, too, with Usher, he was doing that, like, at the station where I was. He had to do that with the fans because they had, like, a meet and greet.
Okay.
So then he was taking pictures with, like, the rest of the staff or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, he was such a...
All I know is that Ramon Ayala will take a picture with anybody,
yes,
man.
Yes, he's so nice. Yep.
We went to a concert so here dope. At the old Staples, and we took a picture with Bronco. Like, everybody.
Oh, my God. Those guys are amazing, and his kids are just as nice.
Hey, you know who was really cool, Serrano?
Who?
Los Tigres del Norte.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
They're huge boxing fans, right? So we're at a Canelo fight.
Oh, so they knew who you were.
No. That was at the beginning of my boxing start. But we were... They went to the press conference, and then afterwards, they were just hanging out in the Golden Boy office, and they took a picture with every single person. They were super cool, and every single fan that walked by them in that area where they were at, because it was like a VIP area, it's not just one person. The entire group, they were just there. So I was like, that's cool.
Listen,
man.
I'm such an F-minus celebrity that I've never said no to anyone taking a picture with
me. I said no to one guy.
Get out of here.
Hold on.
Uh-oh, there's a story here.
It was at Dodger Stadium, left field bar, and... I'm standing out there. I'm not working. The guy's like, "Hey, Beto, let's take a picture." And I'm like, "No, because I know what I look like right now. Day game, I should not. It's my third $22 michelada." And I was like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I've been drinking." And he's like, "Well, forget you then." Went off on me. I was like, "Yeah, but like it was toasty. It was midday." And then guy sent me a long message about
ponte los lentes.
I had them on. That's how bad it was.
Oh, man. Wow. You put your glasses on and it's still bad?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, he sent me a long message about, "Man, you think you're too good. This and that. This
damn.
And that."
He messaged you. He followed up.
Oh, he followed up. And then he unfollowed me and did everything else. And then
did he announce that he unfollowed you, though?
Well, I didn't follow him, so I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, you know, people tweet at you and they say, "I'm going to unfollow you."
And then the next day, when I responded to the message that he had, he finally said, "Oh, hey, bro, sorry about that. I understand. I know what you're talking about now." He's like, "I was pretty drunk, too." I'm like, "Well, like, damn. Well, can I get the refollow?" Nope. That was my only time.
Lindsay, do you take pictures with fans?
Yeah, I mean, people have asked me at games before, and I have no problem. Yeah. No big deal at all.
So here, my boy Razor Ramon, who played football at Iowa from Bell High.
Wait, the real Razor Ramon?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have him saved as Razor Ramon on my phone.
Lindsay was very intrigued. Yeah.
No, not the wrestler, but he played football at Iowa. He's at Bell. He's listening right now. He's like, "You took a picture with me." You're right. I did take a picture with him at the Iowa played in the Rose Bowl, and he stopped me, and he's like, "Hey, Beto, blah, 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 blah. Can we get a picture?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." I'm like, "All right, you're on the field. I'll take a picture with you." He's like, "Oh, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." Like, okay.
Beto's a great cameraman, by the way. Oh, he took pictures on for like so many of like all the, like my all the sideline reporters we had all season
at the Alamo Bowl. So we were there, and I told them like, look, they were like, no, we just want pictures. No, like, no, we got to get angles. I'm a great.
You got to get the sponsor in the background, right?
You tag your sponsor. We got to get the logo. You got to go up high. You got to get the Y. You got to get the portrait.
You know what's up, Beto?
Oh man, you know.
That's how you get the good swag later.
Oh yeah, size 12.
Beto knows. That's how he's trying to get J's from Martin Jarman, the AD at UCLA.
Hey, because of that, everybody knows Sobdano did the Alamo Bowl. See?
They
look,
did.
Look at that. And now true. You got a Laker game tomorrow. You're welcome.
I actually got two Laker games on the schedule.
Hey.
There you go. All Beto. By the way, I did get good swag from the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
They sent me a Yeti bag. You know those things are. I didn't realize how expensive. I don't know. I don't know how. I didn't know anything about that stuff. My wife says that stuff is expensive.
Is it insulated?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Then it's the. I mean, just
a good one.
Just like the little wine glasses. I was gonna get one for like a Christmas present, and just the wine glasses are like $20-$30.
I don't know what any of that stuff costs. Like I'm terrible.
Hey, ask your neighbors. They all know.
$40-$50.
Ask your neighbors.
Ask my neighbors.
Yeah, they all know that there.
Fancy. Too funny. So Frank Vogel said that he was going to consider that he's considered bringing Russell Westbrook off the bench, and I mean it's hard to blame him to do that, but I mean that probably should have been done a long time ago, no?
Right?
I mean, not his fault, because you're basically telling a guy who was on the 75th anniversary team come off a bench, but really good players have come off the bench in their career.
Remember Lamar? He went to the bench.
Yeah.
And he complained about it, but he went to the bench. But this is what? Middle of February? As we're getting there, right?
I mean, it's March, bro. What are you talking about?
I mean, March. Yeah, February.
March 4th.
Whatever. See? That's how bad it is with the Lakers. I don't even know what day it is.
But, right. It feels like Groundhog's Day.
Right. Exactly. And they're figuring things out. They're still trying to tinker. They're still trying to move around. Like, this is desperation, right? It's like, okay, what else can we try? What else can we do? We've tried this. We've tried this. We've tried this. And it's eventually something's going to stick. They're hoping. I mean, and how's Russ going to take it? How's this going to happen? Is it going to work, Sedano? Does it matter, really? I know I'm sounding like that downer where it's just everything is bad with the team. But after watching the 5 minutes yesterday, I'm like, my goodness. Will anything work?
Laura, instead of using the P word that the guy used when he texted me or tweeted me about Beto, what if I said Punchy? What if I said Punchy?
I used to say Punchy's Punchy.
Okay,
but it means
there you
something
go.
Else.
Right. So can I read that? Can I use that instead?
It means like, let's get it on.
Okay, but still, I mean, I don't know. Like, how about Punchy?
How about Ponche?
Ponche?
Ponche. Like the drink.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Ponche.
Yeah.
You know, I had
because the guy, Eric Herrera, said Ponche Duran Sports, trying to come up with some J's, always working. And I would imagine that people at home watching. The Lakers going, Ponche Lakers, jugando tan malo.
Man. Yeah. Like, you don't even have to speak Spanish to curse at him in Spanish. That's how bad it is right now.
It's so bad.
I mean, I said it.
It's kind of depressing.
And mind you, we're on the Lakers station. I'm sounding like this. But it's like.
It's depressing because, dude, nobody wants this. Nobody wants. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people are like, oh, you guys. I get it's, like, become really popular, particularly in the last, like, 6 or 7 years to blame the media for everything.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to sit here talking about how bad this team is right now.
No. And I'm one of those where, you know, at the end of a game, I kind of go and, like, look up Laker Twitter, how it's reacting. And, like, I love trolling Laker Twitter fans that are hardcore about it.
Well, let's talk about that more on the other side. We got to break real quick because Lauda's going to get in trouble. So we'll do that. What you need to know, we're back in 2 minutes.